56.
There was a moment in my 80s when I overheard a 40-something-year-old woman tell her husband with absolute certainty that she now met the definition of old. While there were several folks my age nearby who may have taken offense if they had heard, for my part, I just felt sorry for her husband. See, I knew what she really meant, but I wasn't going to fill him in. That's the type of thing that a man can only learn through experiencing it himself. Poor fellow won't even see it coming.
The calm with Bert ended, and Charles felt like a new man. While in-game it felt like 3 weeks, it was only about 10 or 12 hours ago in real life that his granddaughter called with grave news. She had been assaulted. With the levels of technology and surveillance in today's society, crime itself was at an all-time low.
Hell, the powers that be keep on making up new laws for new crimes because there weren't enough criminals to fine.
For something like that to have happened these days was shocking. To have it happen in one of the few remaining areas that a person couldn't be caught and leave no evidence? Even rarer. Someone else may have been suspicious of the story, but Charles knew his granddaughter.
This wasn't something she would joke about.
One of Charles's oldest friends, Bert, had just called him to let him know that the private investigator he'd hired had found the man responsible. They'd just agreed to Plan X, something they'd devised in their 20s when they served in the military together. Soldiers were a rough, prideful bunch, and physical punishments only went so far. When a man went truly out of line, there wasn't much out there that could bring him back. So when threats of demotion or discharge or prison didn't work, they'd developed another option. Few things could hurt a man as much as his mother's disappointment. How many times had they had a soldier about to go unhinged and risk everyone's lives during the war? Enough that they'd needed a fail-safe plan. A fail-safe plan that remained a weapon in their arsenal decades and decades later. A weapon Charles just gave the clearance to use. And he didn't feel bad about it at all.
No one hurts my little girl.
Charles breathed out and took stock of where he was at. Thinking so closely about the intense topic, he'd almost forgotten he was in pod playing a virtual reality game, a game that was pumping his medications. He frowned at that thought.
Likely a new type of steroid, too, given how much I want to smack things.
The intricately carved wooden stick he carried with him, the baton of subduing, was something he'd gotten frequent use out of since he started playing. That, and a number of items he wore or carried, were gifts from his friend Bert.
The man has gone out of his way to pay for my pod and gift me all these items. He's probably lonely. Fellas our age have a difficult time connecting with younger people.
There just wasn't enough in common, and despite all the things Charles or Bert could teach them, few had the patience to listen.
The weeks in-game compared to days in real life was likely also another reason.
Even now, as Charles looked at the group of young folks that traveled with him, he felt a disconnect.
It's no wonder Bert wanted me to play so badly.
The group stood at the base of the mountain. A talkative monk named Tim, with a shining bald head, had come to greet them at the base of the mountain and had continued to talk while Charles was on the call. A tiger with a unicorn's horn was sitting on its haunches next to Charles, a gift from his great-grandkid. Charles ignored the fact that the animal was pink when he accepted it. Two men had also come with. A player named Python Mike, who looked like some kind of barbarian with muscled arms sticking out of a sleeveless vest, accompanied him as well. Twin women followed him wherever he went. NPCs, not real players. Initially, Charles hadn't cared for the fella, but over the course of their journey, he found himself proud of how far he'd seen the man come and his ability to act right. Charles had taken the opportunity to teach him to behave better several times, mostly through the use of his stick, a higher-level item gifted from his friend Bert that no one in this part of the game could defend against. The other man, Red Baron, used some kind of blood tentacles as weapons. Charles didn't have the best impression of this fella, as not only was the man terribly crass, but he'd developed an emotional attachment to an otherworldly tentacled woman in the game. But wasn't a real woman playing the game, but an NPC. Computer-generated. Fake things that didn't come close to what a real person was, let alone what a woman was. Charles eyeballed the last member of the group, the NPC he had been saddled with. It, or she, was a quiet and shy banshee with skeletal wings that had been following him like a stray. Even now she was partly hidden in a large rock only visible from the shoulders up. Charles thought of the journey they'd taken so far. He'd started in some fantastical city with a mixture of unusual characters before making his way to a cabin in the woods, a place he'd had high hopes to be a quiet, peaceful place that would function as a vacation home his kids, grandkids, and great-grandkids could come visit. Along the way, he'd picked up Python Mike and Red Baron, who'd escorted him to the cabin. There, he'd been bothered almost every day by other players. Some of his family visited once, and that was the best day he'd had in the game so far. The tiger was a result of the visit and a pleasant reminder. Afterwards, though, thousands of players had congregated on his cabin for some kind of giant battle and destroyed his cabin and ruined his lawn. Oh, the cabin had been repaired afterwards, but Charles couldn't stick around there. The fixed cabin was sucked into some kind of magic crystal in his pocket along with another crystal that was something called a dungeon. He still wasn't sure what the word dungeon had to do with what amounted to an orphanage for green children, but with Mama Spider in there, they were likely in good care. From there, they'd traveled through forest and swamp to end up at the base of this mountain on the way to a monastery that had been gifted to him. A quiet he wasn't going to get to while they were standing around yapping.
"All right, let's go," Charles said,
abruptly interrupting the ongoing spiel from the monk.
"About that, honored elder,"
Python Mike began.
"I was talking to your entourage about that. The beasts and monsters along the way may be different than you are used to. The monks here have developed a different way to fight them. You may have heard the word chi. We have inherited the methodology of the ancients to harness the energy of the universe and life itself to—"
The monk spoke over Mike in a rapid spray of matter-of-factly spoken words. Each word felt like a verbal bullet, shot just to irritate Charles. It really only had one response Charles could give. Fake deafness.
"Eh?"
Charles answered while cupping his hand around his ear like he hadn't heard. The monk seemed to deflate at the interruption. He then took a breath and started talking again.
"As I was saying, the beasts and monsters along the path towards our monastery require different ways of fighting. The Grand Master of our order spent countless hours reading through ancient texts and meditating on their words to develop a means to gather—"
"Eh?"
Charles interrupted him again. He'd heard him just fine, he just wasn't in the listening mood. The man would need to get to the point. Talking too much was a waste of time to Charles. The monk began again, irritation apparent in his tone.
"The beasts and monsters along the path towards our monastery require different ways of fighting. The Grand Master of our order—"
"Eh?"
Charles asked again, and walked tiny steps towards the monk. Red Baron's eyes widened, likely in understanding that the monk was about to be smacked a couple of times. In a show of wisdom, he intervened.
"If I may, Monk Tim?"
Red Baron asked politely to the monk who was now red-faced. The monk answered with a nod. Red Baron spoke the words loudly and slowly, even though the smile in his eyes meant that he knew what Charles was pulling.
"He said they do martial arts."
Charles put on the expression of understanding.
"Oh, why didn't he just say so?"
The monk started swearing and kicking rocks.
"He also said they meditate for power," Red Baron kept the charade going.
"Yep. Makes sense."
Charles allowed an awkwardly long pause before he asked,
"What's meditation?"
Of course he knew what it was. He'd been around a long time. He was just having a little fun at the monk's expense. At this point, even Python Mike had caught on. Excitedly, the monk jumped back into the conversation. talking loudly and slowly enunciating his words the same way Red Baron had.
Meditation is the art of self-reflection. We attempt to connect to our spiritual selves and become one with our environment. Then we use our spiritual bodies to understand and grasp the chi of the world. We internalize this chi by bringing it into our Dantian and empower our bodies and minds. From there...
Eh? What's a Dantian?
Charles interrupted him. This time he didn't know. He'd seen enough kung fu movies to know what chi was supposed to be. Dantian, though, wasn't a word he recognized.
It's right here,
the monk said, and pointed at his stomach.
When we internalize chi, we condense it down to form a crystal inside ourselves that powers our...
Right there?
Charles asked and pointed to where the man had pointed. It was right near where a kidney would be.
You will give yourself kidney stones? I ain't doing that.
It's not a kidney stone, I don't think,
the monk mumbled to himself for a moment.
There's another way to fight the beasts on this mountain.
He was once again speaking loudly and slowly pronouncing his words.
You can infuse your weapon with a Tao.
A dowel?
Charles looked at his stick in confusion.
No, Mr. Charles. D-A-O. Tao. If one meditates on your understanding of the universe, you come to a great truth. If you understand a truth well enough, you can use that to add power to your weapon. It's the way...
Huh.
Charles looked down at his stick, ignoring the monk while the man blathered on.
What is meditating? That's just thinking real hard about something, right? About a universal truth? What universal truth do I know?
Charles considered his life. Being the oldest man alive meant that he had a lot he could consider. As he thought about the people that were once in his life and how most of them had passed, he realized he'd likely experienced more people passing than anyone else. There was an old saying he had heard in his life that went, "The only thing you're guaranteed in life is death and taxes." And for Charles, over the course of his life, that seemed pretty true. He'd been to more funerals than he'd ever have wished. He also paid taxes longer than anyone else alive. Way more taxes than he ever wanted to.
Taxes were just the worst. They never, ever became simpler.
Soon enough, the stick he was looking at flashed brightly and then started glowing. It gleamed brightly under the daylight in an aura of gold and black. A system message popped up before his eyes.
Congratulations! You have understood a universal truth and mastered 2 mythic-tier Taos.
Tao of Death.
All attacks have a 15% chance of instant death and 30% of causing advanced age permanent debuff.
Tao of Taxes.
All attacks take 40% of a target's wealth. Targets substitute class levels or maximum hit points if payment cannot be made.
Charles read them both.
Huh. Just like real life.
Realizing it was quiet for the first time in a long time, Charles looked up to see all the folks looking at him with shocked expressions.
Now we can go, right?
Charles was tired of waiting around.